It's 12 minutes after noon. I'm Corey Lane, your moderator for today's The People's Parliament. We have in studio today with us to talk about crime and deviance, their opinion on crime and deviance. We have from the Democratic Labour Party, Mr. Stephen Lashley. We have from the United Progressive Party, Mr. Everton Holligan. We also have Apostle Scanterbury from the Barbados Integrity Movement, John King from the Barbados Labour Party, and from Solutions Barbados, Mr. Grenville Phillips. Now, I want to read a couple of WhatsApp, and then we go back to the line on today's People's Parliament. This one says, "Hi, I would like to hear on the People's Parliament a look at the following. One, a compulsory national youth service, a secondary students' congress, a second chance program for youth development, and we did hear about the national youth policy." This one is saying, "Mr. Lashley, your ministry does extremely well." Another one says, "Corey, the minister was not being forthright about cleaning of one's criminal record. Could you ask him if it is still that one's record can be expunged if one has done more than 3 years in jail?" The guns that are smuggled in Barbados are not the young person's problem. Only young people are charged. A little drug dealer on the street is charged, but the big man who smuggled is never looked at. This one says, "Hi and welcome to all. Corey, the system fails. The root of the crime is hard to treat. Nobody seemed to care. It hurts to know that there is still a legislation in place that all political parties threaten to reintroduce the hanging. I am so hurt to hear intelligent people often say hanging is not the solution. Can lethal injection be implemented? Something has to be done. My cousin got killed, Corey. It is so sad to know I have to work hard to pay tax to feed the person who has taken him down. Question to the panel. Who is going to make sure that the legislation that is already in place is utilized? Honestly speaking, you cannot reduce crime by the above mentioned. One needs to also think of the pain and sleepless nights of the victims and what they have to go through. A lot of victims spend time in prison, come out, and repeat the said crime again. This is a serious thing." And any reaction from the panelists who are present before we go to the telephone.
Right. I would like to address the issue of the compulsory national youth service. And just to give some background, in the original national youth policy, we had actually put in there a compulsory national youth service. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that at that time, there was quite a lot of public discussion, and there was fairly negative reaction to the concept of a compulsory national youth service. In fact, I recall some parents being very, very vocal to suggest that that would amount to a constitutional infringement on the rights of their children. We backed away from that by the time, of course, we got to Parliament. In fact, when it went to Parliament, it did include a compulsory national youth service. And because of the public response, we did not move in that direction. We actually would have promulgated a voluntary national youth service. But if, in fact, we then had to look at how a voluntary national youth service could take place, and we've had quite a lot of discussion over that. The current national committee, which advises on youth matters, they have actually had a look at it, and they've had a number of consultations. And very shortly, they are looking at coming up with a concise proposal, a discussion paper on the implementation of the National Youth Service, which should be voluntary. Is currently being worked on by that committee in association with the National Youth Service.
Serious question. If we have challenges with mm-hmm. the voluntary youth service, mm-hmm. where will you get the resources, that people say, to have a mandatory youth service or a expanded youth service?
Right. Well, that's an issue, but I think the framework of it is what we're working on. One of the hindrances in terms of the Barbados Youth Service has been the whole question of not having the actual physical setting for a residential phase. But I can tell you that although we did not have the residential phase, the Barbados Youth Service has been hugely successful in transforming a lot of lives. What we need to do is to be able to reach more young people. because the number of young people who are not able to be a part of that program remains a concern for me. I think we have started, Corey. That is, we have been able to put together the funding and secured the start of the headquarters for the Barbados Youth Service. Once we have that in place and we're able to expand it, then that gives us the kind of framework to go towards having a compulsory national youth service. But the framework that we're looking on is not necessarily going to be based on having a physical building. It is going to link very much into having systems in the primary schools, in the secondary schools. And if you recall, Corey, currently in Barbados, a number of young people are themselves involved in voluntary service. We have the Barbados Cadet Corps. We have the Girl Guides. We want to devise a system that utilizes a lot of what is currently being provided to young people.
All right. Let Everton come in here.
Well, I just wanted to raise some hardcore points with regard to not necessarily just what's in the manifesto or what's in our policies with the United Progressive Party, but just making some bullet points. This issue is complex, dealing with crime and deviance, and it has to be addressed on all different levels. And it's a community effort. That's the thing. So we're here who are running for office. We're being asked what are our policies to help make these things happen for the benefit of our society. But the work that needs to go into this is work that we've put in place that helps support and strengthen community. I keep saying this all the time. So leadership, and it should be politically facilitated, but not necessarily politically implemented. So we know that people commit crime, but people are born and they're nurtured and they're nurtured within a specific society and structure that could either lead them towards excelling with their lives or lead them towards a state where they're not efficient or proficient in what they're doing. So we know that the life skills education component has to come in. One of the things we looked at in some of our policies is reevaluating testings, even like Lavin Plus and these kind of testings within the education system, to make sure that the testing are done to ensure that people are learning properly rather than to condemn them because they're not properly getting the subject in hand. We want to look at nurturing, educating about relationships, something that has to happen from as early as primary school. We also want to look at education about birthing practices and how we can help young women and men, parents, understand their responsibility in the birthing process. Why? Because all of this shapes and molds this human being that now have to live within the society. And any trauma that a woman experiences when she's in that process somehow shapes and reshapes the mind of this new individual that's coming into being. We are fearing that these things are not necessarily given the due attention and care that they need to have. So nurturing relationships, nurturing the birthing process, but also education within communities to help with breastfeeding and bonding. So again, we're talking about how to prevent these crime situations from happening. Now, if we don't have all of the infrastructure in place to reach every single citizen in our country, how then can we have these crime, have these punishments such as hanging and these kind of things that we can now give out to our citizens if we haven't taken them through the right stages of the growth and development of being their true potential or their full potential as a human being. So part of what our work is to make sure not only that we can say this is what needs to be done, this is what needs to be done, but here is the bullets of the areas to help develop a human being so that that human being now, and the other thing I wanted to, that human being now can develop their full potential, but the deviance and the crime right now in society, one forgotten point or one point that is missing is the nutrient density of the children who are involved. A lot of times you don't think about them as being nutritionally deficient. We just think about them as this deviant person. But look at it. They may not be getting enough nutrients in their diet based on who they are, their social background, what they have access to. And if they're not stable mentally and emotionally, then their behavior is going to show that up. What are we doing as a society to help ensure that everyone can reach a certain level of nutrition, get a certain level of care, the young people in particular, that's the focus, so that they don't deviate and go into that lifestyle of crime or some of what we're seeing right now. Why this is crucial? Because it leads right back into our economy. If we use oppressive tools to raise free people, it's going to be a problem. We cannot use oppressive tools to raise free people. That's one of the points I wanted to make. And so if we have free people, then we have the freedom to create our reality, innovative thinkers. But when people feel oppressed and when there's not enough support given to young families, young mothers, to children, the way that, and this is not just specific, but across our society, then we're not going to be able to stabilize our economy by creating the innovative thinkers that we need to help power the economy. So those are my points.
Thank you. Some people may not make the connection, but I see what you're doing is going deep down into the core, the seed of the problem, not even the root, the seed, literally.
We have to get to the initial stages. And then one thing I missed there was the delivery of our social care services, even in the spaces where women are giving birth, where women are pregnant. If our delivery does not support and nourish the women and they're traumatized, the baby is traumatized. If the baby is traumatized, then we have this degenerate effect, which even spans across non-communicable diseases, which again impacts our healthcare system all the way up. So there's so much work that needs to go in, and we have to hit the ground running and make sure that these policies are implemented and they're bulleted, and make sure that the training is done in our social service delivery of our social services. Training is done for young people in relationships before they even get involved in sexual activity and even consider being pregnant. And then the process of pregnancy, the proper nurturing, the delivery of the child, all the way up. I think it's called epigenetics, and how that impacts on the well-being of the person that falls into the community and the crime that is so rampant right now.
So if you're wondering why you're not hearing the other representatives, they are not on the job right now. They are out in the members room. That's where they are. Right. So we're going to go to the lines, and then we're going to hear some more on this, the People's Parliament. Remember, we take the 12:30 latest from the Starcom Network News in a few. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Corey. You're on the air, yes, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Corey. Having spent almost 2 hours listening, I have to talk. No, first let me say that I listened to Granville Phillips, who said that whistleblowers, I want to refer to that, then I want to continue. I would like to, Mr. Phillips, to know that this country, the people who are actually involved are not the ones who actually are the ones who use the threats. The whistleblowers are the ones who receive, who give the information, but the information does not come from the person who is being pointed out. The threats come from another source, but there are whistleblowers in Barbados, and there are whistleblowers, but it is not looked at, it is not respected, in the sense that those people who are at the other end of the spectrum, in relation to being involved. And I believe that corruption breeds crime. Let me say, Tony, Corey, I want to use you as an example. And I want to say this to the minister. You know, you've taken, Mr. Minister, you know, I don't bowl short balls, I bowl fast. You've taken this opportunity to expose your ministry's work over the last couple of years. I want to ask you these questions. You came into office and you found the OSS problem. What has happened to that? You came into office and you found the police liaison scheme. This is the Attorney General's question. You came into office and you found the skilled program. You came into office, and as far as I'm concerned, you found several things that were in place to provide Barbados with young entrepreneurship. When I go off, I want you to tell us why your government has refused to continue the OSS scheme, why your government did not look at the skills program when we could go up in Warren's just outside the Seroptimus building and see some work that was done by the youth of this country in terms of bungalows. I want to ask you to tell me why, since it was such a program that has produced things, why were these things not continued? Okay, let me come on to say that the problem in Barbados...
You're going to pause and let me answer the question. You're putting question on the question. Let me answer a couple questions.
Let me start, Mark, by responding to you, and thanks for joining the program. The OSS program was discontinued because of the inherent lack of focus and structure in the program. There were a number of issues in the program which related to lack of accountability, and those issues were of sufficient concern as to warrant us moving away from that OSS program. Equipment, as you know, was provided without any kind of tracking to number of persons, and of course, as I speak, I believe the program had to be moved forward, as opposed to continuing that structure. We moved, as you know, to what we call youth mainstreaming, which is a program, a second chance program that partners with the Barbados Community College, with the Polytechnic, and of course with Palm Marine and other agencies, where the government of Barbados provides funding in partnership to those agencies to allow for more young people to be trained in various skills. And that is where we move in terms of the youth mainstreaming program. The youth mainstreaming program, as you know, has been able to also position a lot of young people in terms of training in skills in relation to equipment, and that was designed to give them the opportunity to become entrepreneurs.
All right, Mark, you asked the question why he said about accountability, no tracking, and so on. Okay, Mark?
I don't want to be disadvantaged. I'd like to hold on. I've got.
Oh, yeah, hold on, because you asked the question and he answered it, so we'd like to get your reply from that. But I think it's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. After that, more of the People's Parliament. It's the People's Parliament here on the Tuesday edition of Brass Stats, 40 minutes before 1. We go until 2 for the 20th day of March 2016. In studio, we have Everton Holligan. He is from the United Progressive Party. Tyler Gravesunday. He is from the Barbados Integrity Movement. Grenville Phillips, Solution Barbados. John King, the Barbados Labour Party. And Stephen Lashley from the Democratic Labour Party. Now, lots of people have been messaging and asking me, where is Natalie? I don't know. But I can tell you that yesterday when it was raised, the station manager, David Ellis, did say, you know, this is a forum for the parties, and if he has to create one for the independents, that is above my pay grade. So you can speak to David Ellis on the question of where the independents are in this, the People's Parliament debate here at Starcom VOB. Now, before we took the latest, we were online with a caller known as Mark. Mark, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Let's get on to brass tacks and move on as we take the show until 2 o'clock, answering the people's question, what are the views of the political parties on crime?
I'm glad. Before I go, Corey, I must do two things. First, I want to compliment the young gentleman, my barber, who came in. I don't know if he's gone.
He's still here.
But he's still there. I would advise that some program be set aside to hear his life story. Mm-hmm. It will bring tears to your eyes, even to the point that he would tell you at the point of committing suicide. I've listened to it. I'm very proud of him, and I'm sure that other Barbadians like yourself would want to hear his life story. Now, about the answers given by the minister. Mr. Minister, I could agree to disagree, but I'm going to disagree. I'll tell you why. When you look at these programs that they question you about, they have been very productive. They have been productive because the OSS has been able to produce several videographers in this country who are working on their own as entrepreneurs. They've been able to produce several nail specialists, several hairstylists. A lot of people came out of that OSS program. So when you tell me that you stop that, then I think you stop a work in progress, and that is why you have the situation that is now developing that we are complaining about young people. Now,
those programs, Mark, are still the nail technologist program, the digital media program. Those programs are still in place. What we did with the
stop the OSS, Mark.
No, but there were elements of the OSS program that I told you were not acceptable. It does not mean that components such as the nail technologist, they're still training those people. We are still doing the digital media. And you're correct, there are persons in the digital media who are going on to do some fantastic work. Those programs are still very much in place.
I want to say this. I give you credit, but I must be political at this point. And I believe politicians like myself and parties like myself must understand that when we stop work in progress, to put a stop on what we want to identify with, you're also stopping the development of people who want to move on.
No, but the curtailing of those programs, we don't just put youth programs in place. Huh? All the programs that we put in place are youth-centric. They are based on the consensus. We also have discussions with the young people who are the beneficiaries. So the changes in relation to moving away from elements of the program in terms of Project OASIS would have been the subject of proper study and just not done on a willy-nilly basis. Just want to clarify that for
all right, Mark, let's move on.
Let's move on. I want you to look across the studio at your horse, Corey Lane, because the topic, Tori, you're not in this. I'm talking about you. You don't even have to open your mouth. This man suffered for almost 20 years 24, to develop a group of young people who would have been called street vagabonds. He has been able, can I ask this question? Any of your people from the nature has ever been before the court, Corey?
Well, not since they came into the program.
Right. I'm saying this, that somewhere along the line, let's move forward with the development of the youth in this country. It is people like Corey who deserves government assistance in moving young people in the right direction. Now, I saw, Mr. Minister, you have just opened Silver Hill. Years late, the governments have allowed Silver Hill to deteriorate to the
position. It may be years late, but being political, it was never even touched by the Barbados Labour Party.
I agree, but what you're planning to do...
I have to say that because you can't tell me that I'm late when in fact you did nothing at all. Your party totally neglected Silver Hill. And we spent the time to ensure that we could come up with a project that is funded, understand that this project is costing $2.7 million thanks to the generosity of the Mayor Hall, the Memorial Trust.
Yeah.
And in fact, the concept of the project is going to be a significant difference to the Silver Hill community. You can't be telling me that I am late when, in fact, after 14 years, your party never came with even an iota of anything. I just want to set that for the record. Go ahead now.
I'm going to say this to you, that the concept and the location is wrong for what you plan to do. I am believing that if the Mayor holder is funding something, yes, the government... at least is responsible. There's several areas of Christchurch, acres and acres of land, that these very young men would like to do what Corey is doing on his plot in St. Andrew.
But you can't say it's wrong. What you're saying is that there are other things that we can do, but you can't say that the project which is designed to create a youth empowerment center with specific functions is wrong. I agree with you that there are other things that can be done.
You have to find,
for example, let me just say this, Mark, you may not be aware. The facility that we're building, the headquarters for the Barbados Youth Service, is on an immense amount of land. And the intention is to be able to use that land for productive purposes. And some of the things that you're talking about would be accommodated there. But you can't say that having a building that is dilapidated and converting it into productive use is wrong.
You call land the player now, Mark, because other people...
Let me explain. Mr. Minister, I want to put this on record, right? I appreciate the move, but I'm saying the location and the concept of what you plan to do there in Silver Hill for those young men is wrong.
What's the concept, Mark?
The concept was what I read.
What's the concept? Okay. Well, you don't even know what the concept is.
I know what the concept. You know what the concept because you're...
I know what the concept because I have been the one who implemented the project. So I know the concept. The concept is to have a youth empowerment center that's multifaceted. It will have a computer room which would teach young people the computer training and also other digital platforms. It will have a studio, a recording studio for artists. It will have a general facility where programs can be rendered. The intention is to decentralize within that community a number of the programs currently being used in youth mainstreaming, including digital media and other programs we're talking about. And we also intend to also have offices there for the welfare department, the constituency council. There will be three spaces downstairs for store space. There will also be changing facilities to be used by persons using the hard court. And there will also be a space for recreation in that facility. So that's really what the plan is about.
All right, let's move on. This one says, good afternoon, Corey. My question to your panel and not the minister is to the rest. If your government gets into power, will your administration conduct forensic audit into the government awarded contract as well as ministers in the financial management of their ministries? And if any corruption or wrongdoing has been found, that action be brought to the DPP for prosecution and possible imprisonment?
Emphatically, yes, Barbados Labour Party. We've said this before. If you look in our Covenant of Hope, it outlines clearly what we intend to do. And already members of the Barbados Labour Party know that this is coming.
Next.
Yes, through the whistleblower legislation, so it will be effective. So it's not a matter of saying yes, but saying yes for 50 years and nothing being done. Yes, but it will be very effective.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Let me say as well that the Barbados and Territory Movement will definitely be putting measures in place to make sure that we deal with this issue of corruption, especially in the area of government. And we will also be looking at giving more leverage to the Auditor General. And once investigations have been conducted, that the go-ahead will be given to the DPP to prosecute individuals who have been found to be involved in any level of corruption here in Barbados.
Go ahead, Vinny. The DPP don't need to go ahead to do anything. Nobody under the Constitution can instruct the DPP. DPP can take over any prosecution, start any prosecution on their own. So,
well, I think they need to do some work now.
Yes, but that's the whole point. You see, you have to understand the system that you're dealing with. The Director of Public Prosecutions does not have to wait on anybody to institute any prosecution in Barbados. The office is an office that is actually protected by the Constitution. It does not answer to a single soul. Once the DPP is actually appointed by the relevant commission, that person who holds that office is immune from any intervention and can take over, can institute any particular proceeding. So you don't have to touch that. What it would say, because the question was not open to me, and I recognize that it went to the other panelists, but certainly within the context of the Auditor General reports, because the Auditor General reports does not only begin in 2008, and certainly there is no period in which, for example, there's no period that cuts off the opportunity to prosecute. There are several Auditor General reports that have raised some fundamental issues that I'm certain, and I can speak certainly in terms of my own view of it, that if we were to actually peruse, then in fact there'll be a lot of prosecutions going on in Barbados. But we have to understand that the system of governance in Barbados is,
I think, there. The question was, you know, in terms of the philosophy behind it, because people have this belief that politicians will not prosecute other politicians.
Okay,
so we're basically looking at these parties if they're given the opportunity. I want to come to UPP. Oh, he's passing on that one. Now, this one is, I want to ask this one in all seriousness here. Where did it go? It had to do with...
Well, I'm passing, Corey, because I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the logistics as it relates to stuff.
But we're talking about the philosophy behind it. Would you prosecute?
You asked that question earlier, and we said that our philosophy is ensuring that we can end corruption. As far as now going back to prosecute, I would be stepping out of my bounds, above my pay grade, as you said earlier, to make a comment on that.
Fair enough. This one says, I'm asking the question, where are the parents in rearing of the youth? Is it totally the government's job? There's a direct correlation between strong parental influence and crime. I wish I could have hold on, but I'm calling from the US here. Now, the question I want to ask, Tyler, I wanted to ask you this earlier in terms of where were your parents in all of this when you talked about going on your blog. I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to talk. I want to, because we have not touched on our parents, but a big part of this whole idea of preventing crime.
All right. It's amazingly, I mean, thank you for asking that question, because that was a major key of motivating me, because honestly and utterly, my father walked away from my mother. My mother was uneducated. She was a domestic worker that works 9-to-5 job. But in the sense of 9-to-5, she got to get to work. She had to leave home at 7. And, you know, we didn't have much. Not even much. We didn't even have close to much. And being in that environment, without a father figure, which Barbadians know, fathers have neglected the position where they're supposed to be. Right now you're having mothers being fathers as well, and yet they're working 2 and 3 jobs and still trying to, you know. So what I'm saying is that when my mom leaves, she cooks one meal. I have to use that meal for breakfast and for lunch. And some possibilities I had to use for dinner before she comes home, you know. And being controlled now by ignorance and the negative factors around me in the environment, what happened was I turned to a negative side of life as an alternative motive. That was my motive, just to sustain me.
So that brings me now to my question. What can we do about effective parenting in Barbados?
All right. For my experience and my observation is that it comes down to the parents, yes. Then it comes to the environment. Then it comes to the schooling system. A child has, and I will say this again, a child has 3 personalities. The one he shows his parents at home, the one he shows society and school and the teachers, and the main one he shows his friends. So by identifying what the problem is, you see, this manipulation comes from leaders. The reason why I say leaders, because it comes down to economics, your financial status, jobs. You know, these are the main factors, because when I'm not
disagreeing with you, right? What I'm doing is focusing the discussion, and the question is what can be done in relation to parenting in Barbados, and where can we go from there?
Awesome. So
let's answer that and give the others a chance.
Yeah. So what I propose that could be done is create workshops, mentoring, teaching parents how to be parents and not providers. You need to educate parents, because the biblical history says that children will be having children. So by educating the parents how to be parents and not just providers, and the community has a part to play in it as well, along as the teachers has a part to play in it. So in order for you to help the child's mentality, you have to develop it as well. Mm-hmm. So the solution is to have seminars and programs where in the community where you can educate the parents and to how to become parents and responsible.
Thank you.
Yeah, basically raising children to be parents, but also breaking up the spell of the slave master relationship, where I is the parent, you do what I say do.
Mm-hmm.
Where parents have to understand that the children,
I don't
also
really want to know what parents have to answer. We talked about that before. I want to know what UPP can do in relation to improving parental and how effective parenting can we see in the country. That's what I want to hear from all the parties. Cool. What kind of parenting policy you would have, or programs?
Well, the programs, the community development programs, which teach life skills, would address that efficiently, along with the NGO support, which brings NGO organizations who have those mandates of parenting, birth, and those kind of issues that they tackle into communities and help to support and create spaces within communities.
I'm not satisfied with these answers. That's fine.
Okay, but I'm not sure what you're asking.
I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. We already have community programs, and some of them undersubscribed, some of them under-resourced.
Right.
We have the PTAs, the people don't come out. We know this thing, it goes on and on. People are pointing out here, and I've identified this as well. Sunday after Sunday, we have these social programs on Brass That Sunday. I find that a lot of these social ills, when you go into the emotional intelligence and you drill down, you peel back like the onion layers, at the core, we keep butting up into parenting all the time. So I want to know, what plans or programs do your parties have in relation to improving parenting in Barbados? It's a very simple question.
Right. So just before break, I kind of answered that then. You want me to go over it again?
Go over it again.
Because they're bullets. That's important. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand social services have to be properly delivered to parents in hospital care and other care facilities to ensure that they can have less traumatic situations with birthing. Then we also have to make sure that women and men are clear on what they need to know to nurture these young people, so there's proper breastfeeding techniques being offered, so that there's proper bonding for the children. And then also making sure that the education is given to help with relationships. So they
I agree
need
with all of this.
How
do you plan to implement
it? So the way in which we plan to implement it is the subventions and the support to the non-governmental organizations who have these criteria that they mandate. So they would now be given the support to come into the communities with the work of the representative, the MPs, who would then be able to coordinate the community development programs on their behalf. We also have a community development committees, parish development committee, which kind of sidesteps the constituency councils. Through the parish development committees and their work with these same NGOs, we can able to then flood the communities with this information along with the GIS and other services that can bring the information to the people the way that they need to have it.
All right, feel a little better. Moving on, next.
Right. Parents must care, but when you have children who have the kind of challenges that Tyler talked about, it requires a lot more from parents. So trying to solve the root cause of that, as I said, is really the educational system. And I really want to get into this because, like Tyler, I had a struggle in primary school. I had a very great struggle in understanding information that my parents taught me. My mother taught me English. My father taught me mathematics at Paschal Cormier School. When I got there, I came last in class the first term because I just had a difficulty understanding the work. And I hovered around the bottom third of the class. And, you know, my parents were there trying to encourage me. And I didn't believe them when they kept saying, well, you know, you'll do better. They wrote me a poem saying, try and try again, boy, you know, eventually you'll succeed. And eventually in fourth form, I began to understand. The problem is that the school system is not set up for late learners. It's set up for the early learners. Mm-hmm. The early learners, they will understand the complex work in first form. The late learners won't. And the late learners will go through school not understanding, getting frustrated, and eventually dropping out, because why stay at school? Why stay at school when I can't understand anything that is going on? The teachers, they are teaching, I don't understand it.
And you don't care.
But here's the thing, I'm getting these low marks all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you look at my report card, if I could exchange the
mark. I
agree
with what you're saying, Granville, but I want you to link it to the question.
Yeah, so this is what we'll do.
With the question.
That's it. So what you will do then is to not have a problem for the parent to fix. Mm-hmm. So you address the problem at school. So the child does not come home all frustrated, mm-hmm. can't understand this work, and therefore wants to give trouble, and therefore on the block or just finding some other avenue, because they're just not getting through at school. Every child can understand. Every single child can understand. I mean, that's what you do. I teach late learners now. We taught about 1,000. 1,000. And the minimum pass mark, the minimum is 100%. And they all get it.
Whoa.
Right? They all get it. I teach them in the prison, they all get it. And if I took an engineer to take the same course, they will fail it. Right? If they just came off and took the exam, or if it took a lawyer or anyone to take our exams, they will fail them unless they get
taught. I can't disagree with the whole idea of the education system, right? Yeah. But there's some parents that I want you to think about. Mm. Not those that have a problem to fix because of the criteria in school or the methodology, delivery method in school. Mm. But those who are not interested in the children's development. Those who say, look, at the school, they say, if anybody trouble you, jerk this body. Those type of parents that wreak havoc in the society by extension, by bringing up criminals in the society. How do you deal with effective parent and the average parent? How do you deal with those types of parents?
Right. So if you have someone who simply does not care, mm-hmm. You can throw as much money, which is what we've been doing then, you know, over the past 50 years, throwing as much money at it, and it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. If the parent doesn't care, they don't care. That's why we are focusing on the child at school, and after school, we'll teach them how to start a business. We teach them how to start a business inside the school, mm-hmm. because you can't take a child 16 years, mm-hmm. and after 16 years, they come out.
So your method of dealing with parents is not to deal with them, deal with the
children. No, but dealing with the children, I deal mm-hmm. with those who even graduate, those mm-hmm. when they're on the block, teach them how to start a business. I'm the 2014 winner of the National Innovation Competition.
I got your answer.
I teach people how to start a business.
Tyler,
you don't need money to start a business.
Okay.
We teach them how to start a business with no money.
I got your answer.
Yes.
All right, Corey, this is not rocket science. This is a very simple process. Harold touched on it. Granville touched on it. I will try to carry it a little further. You have to attack this problem on various levels or planes. One, if you want to change the behaviors of people who will become parents at some point in time, you have to start training them from primary school. And we have to get away from neglecting to deal with things like sex education and family life and parenting. They must become part and parcel of the curriculum at the primary school level right throughout school. One, there at present, we learn our parenting skills from our parents. There's no manual out there that teaches any of us to be parents. So if you want a particular way of people dealing with their families, you have to teach it. So therefore, you teach it in the schools, you teach it in the communities. We have persons in Barbados who are trained and well qualified in these areas. We need to engage them and allow them to put the programs in place in both the schools and in the communities and in our churches and wherever places we can get the programs out. Also, as I said earlier, the same way that we have government information service telling you about what is happening and whatever things, little tidbits here and there on parenting and other things will help fill in the gaps. You have social media that people are on all the time. So this is not a huge thing that you can't get it done. But like most things in Barbados, it depends on who is willing to put the resources in place to get it done. We can sit here and talk about all the fancy things that can be done, but do we have the will to get it done? And I'm saying to you that these are things that have already been started years ago within schools and other things.
But my problem is the same problem I had when I was talking to Stephen Lashley, is that we do have, I heard someone mention some workshops and so on. We do have a couple of workshops around the place, but you may have a 20 here and a 20 there, but you may have 10,000 parents that needs this assistance.
But the workshops need this assistance. At national levels, not community levels, not village levels as well. So that's why spaces in villages can be utilized. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always mean you have
to
find a professional.
So we need to expand some of the programs that are working instead of having this thing that is supposed to be national, but you're really engaging 20 people at a time.
Exactly. But Corey, I wanted to go a little further. You cut me before I get to go a little further. Having worked in the system for a number of years, you realize that the problems that a lot of the children have are because their parents have deficiencies in dealing with them. And I'm saying that through the courts, and this is not a punishment, but you should be able that if a parent comes before the juvenile court with a child 3-4 times, you should be able to say, look, we are going to assist you by putting you into a parenting program. Assigning somebody who can meet you where you're comfortable, if it means coming to your home to work with you. It's not a punishment. It's lending you the support that you need in order for you to upgrade your skills to do it. Because the other problem that you face when you're dealing with things like this, a place like government industrial school, you have children coming into the school, you give them information, you teach them about parenting and all these things, but they're going back into an environment that no work has gone on in. And so, therefore, everything you did in 5 years, in 3 weeks, it gone through the others. Yep.
And so, they graduate to dogs.
Well, people say those things. I don't believe in that as a graduation.
I don't say as a graduation either.
Right. You understand?
But my question, now let's get down more to nitty-gritty. Remember, this is Brass Stats. We got all these answers, these papers, these workshops, these consultations, you know, report file 13 and recommendations at the back of the report. But yeah, a lot is not implemented. What is blocking this implementation? Is it will? Is it resources? Is it that we don't know what we're doing? Is it that nobody cares? What is blocking the implementation of all these fantastic ideas that we talk about year in, year out, decade in, decade out?